engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses spoke to all the people, saying, "A prophet like me will the Lord your God raise up for you from among your own kin. To him you shall listen. This is exactly what you requested of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, 'Let us not again hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire anymore, lest we die.' And the Lord said to me, 'This was well said. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their kin, and will put my words into his mouth. He shall tell them all that I command him. Whoever will not listen to my words, which he speaks in my name, I myself will make him answer for it. But if a prophet presumes to speak in my name an oracle that I have not commanded him to speak, or speaks in the name of other gods, he shall die.'" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Come, let us sing joyfully to the Lord. Let us acclaim the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us joyfully sing psalms to him. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord who made us. For he is our God, and we are the people he shepherds, the flock he guides. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Oh, that today you would hear his voice. Harden not your hearts as at Meribah, as in the day of Massa in the desert, where your fathers tempted me. They tested me, though they had seen my works. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, I should like you to be free of anxieties. An unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But a married man is anxious about the things of the world, how he may please his wife, and he is divided. An unmarried woman or a virgin is anxious about the things of the Lord, so that she may be holy in both body and spirit. A married woman, on the other hand, is anxious about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. I am telling you this for your own benefit, not to impose a restraint upon you, but for the sake of propriety and adherence to the Lord without distraction. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Then they came to Capernaum, and on the Sabbath Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Quiet, come out of him." The unclean spirit convulsed him, and with a loud cry came out of him. All were amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." His fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, friends, we have a beautiful passage here from the speech of Moses, saying to the people, after he, of course, had led them. Remember what Moses did. It was through him that all these plagues came upon the Egyptians who were holding God's people in captivity. All these amazing signs and wonders were done at that moment, at that time, to convince Pharaoh that he had to let these people go. And then, of course, that included the plague of the death of the firstborn and so forth. And then, of course, the mighty works at the Red Sea and the holding up of Moses' staff and the parting of the sea. And then not only the parting of the sea, but then it's flowing back and drowning the enemies of God's people, the army of Pharaoh and his chariots and charioteers. But then the mighty works in the desert, striking the rock and the water flowing from it and the manna from heaven. This is Moses, not only a great wonder worker, but the lawgiver. And we know God is the ultimate lawgiver, but God said to Moses, come up on the mountain. I'm going to give you the law. God wrote with his own finger on the tablets of the commandments. Moses comes down the mountain with the tablets. He's the lawgiver for the people. And then Moses, of course, spoke face to face with God. I want to read a little bit more about that in a passage we find in the book of Exodus. But I point these things out because, as was very clear to the people, Moses was no ordinary prophet. Far more miracles, lawgiver, mediator. Indeed, one who spoke on a familiar terms as a friend speaks to a friend face to face with God. And Moses, knowing that the people knew all this, says this, makes this promise. A prophet like me, not like all the other prophets who would get their messages from angels or just... In visions and dreams and revelations. No, a prophet like me who speaks to God on intimate terms, a prophet like me doing mighty signs and wonders and bringing you God's law, a prophet like me will the Lord raise up for you from your kin. Listen to him when he comes. You got to listen to him or you're going to be cut off from the people. And that prophet, of course, is Jesus Christ. Let me read for you that passage about Moses' intimacy with God, and then we're going to see how in the New Testament it's clear that this prophet that Moses foretold is Jesus, the Christ. But in Exodus 33, listen to this about Moses' intimacy with God. We start in verse 7, the tent, which was called the meeting tent. Now, this was a portable meeting tent that God gave Moses instructions as exactly how to build, and it went with the Israelites on their journey through the desert, a portable room. The tent, which was called the meeting tent, Moses used to pitch at some distance away outside the camp. Anyone who wished to consult the Lord would go to this meeting tent outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, now this was a solemn moment, the people would all rise and stand at the entrance of their own tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses entered the tent, the column of cloud would come down and stand at its entrance while Moses while the Lord spoke with Moses. The cloud, a sign of God's presence among those people making that desert journey, a sign of his protection, would stand at the entrance of the tent while the Lord spoke to Moses. Verse 10, on seeing the column of cloud stand at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise and worship at the entrance of their own tents. The Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as one man speaks to another. This is so beautiful. The special nature of Moses' intimacy with God, okay, chosen obviously by God, speaking with him face to face, and obviously therefore the people needed to listen to Moses. By the way, Moses' face became radiant as he would have these encounters with the Lord, and he had to wear a veil over his face so that the people would not be blinded by the transformation. But notice what the people did as this happened. They worshiped. They worshiped. What does that mean? Lord, you are God. You are the center of my life. You are the one that teaches me. You are the one that gives meaning to my life. It is your law I follow. It is your instructions that I follow. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. In other words, as God speaks to us in the way that he ordains through Moses for the people of old, through Jesus Christ for us, harden not your hearts. They stood at their own tents and they worshiped. In other words, Lord, I'm not hardening my heart. I'm not closing my ears. I am opening my heart. There's worship. You are God. You are the center. Teach me, Lord. Show me the way to go. They worshiped. They knew that Moses was having this intimacy with God, but they knew it was for them. It wasn't just some kind of personal, individual thing for Moses. He was set over the people. It was for them. So they worshiped. Lord, I am ready. I'm not hardening my hearts today. I'm opening them. I'm opening my ears. Teach me the way I should go. Now, when, as I said, Moses did great signs, it was clear that he was special. When Jesus, we read in John chapter 6, did the great miracle of the loaves, listen to what was said at the end. They collected the 12 baskets with the fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. Verse 14 of John 6, when the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." They were referring back to the words we read in today's first reading. Because this, of course, was very well known among the people, that God would raise up a prophet like Moses, unique in his power, in his signs and wonders, in his intimacy with the Lord, unique. Then they see this sign that Jesus did and said, this is the one. This is the prophet that has come into the world. And then you read in the Acts of the Apostles, Peter's speech. This is after Pentecost now, and Peter and John did this miracle of curing the crippled beggar, and people again were amazed at the signs and wonders that these men were doing, and they say, "How are you doing this?" And they said, "It's all in the name of Jesus." And then he says, "Therefore repent. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts." God spoke to Moses. The people worshiped at the entrance of their tents. There's a meaning to this. When the Lord speaks to his people through his chosen mediators, we've got to be ready to change our lives. And so Peter's message to the people, and here we're in Acts 3, starting with 19, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be wiped away, and that the Lord may give you times of refreshment and send you the Messiah already appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the times of universal restoration, of which God spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old. For Moses said, a prophet like me will the Lord your God raise up for you from among your kinsmen. To him shall you listen in all that he may say to you. Everyone who does not listen to that prophet will be cut off from the people. And then Jesus comes, and you see in the gospel today how people were impressed by his teaching. It wasn't like the other prophets. It wasn't like the scribes. It wasn't simply quoting somebody else, quoting the law. He was giving the law. He was not simply saying what somebody else said or what God had said at a previous time. He was saying, I say. And he was doing mighty signs and wonders that astonished the people. A new teaching, they said, with authority. That's what the teaching of Jesus Christ is. How many times have you listened to a sermon and in the end, first of all, wondered what the preacher said? But secondly, how many times have you heard sermons where at the end you felt like, okay, well, I guess I have to figure out what the right thing is to do, or I have to guess what God wants, or we're really not sure. Yeah, we believe this, but it's sort of like one among many options. You don't really have to believe it. It's just kind of consoling to believe it. That's not how a sermon is supposed to make you feel. A sermon is supposed to make you feel like these people felt here when they heard Jesus, or for that matter, like the people of old felt when they heard Moses. You've got to come away from that proclamation of the Word of God with the feeling that you've just heard from God, that there is no doubt what is right, that you know what you need to do, that you're inspired to do it because it's going to bring you happiness and salvation, and that you're on fire to tell other people about it. That's how you're supposed to feel after a sermon. Not scratching your heads wondering, oh, what do I really need to believe here? Not really sure. They were amazed. A new teaching with authority. He commands even unclean spirits, and they obey him. Preaching is an act of the liturgy. This is an act of worship. It's not the preacher sharing personal thoughts and opinions with you. It's God speaking to his people. And it's the people, as when Moses went into that tent, the people stood at the entrance of their tents. They stood! You don't recline. You don't lie back. You don't sit down. When someone important is coming, you stand. When someone important is coming and you know that you have a responsibility to them, you stand. And so we stand in respectful worship with open hearts, not hardened hearts, because we know that Jesus is the Holy One of God. And just as Moses said, to this prophet whom the Lord will send, a prophet like me, you must listen. So the Father spoke, didn't he, at the baptism of Jesus and again at the transfiguration. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. My friends, when you listen to a Christian preacher, you're listening to Jesus, provided that preacher, of course, is faithful to listening to Jesus himself and to proclaiming what it is that Jesus says. Any prophet that tries to change that will be cut off from the people, and you are not to listen to that person. Oh, many false prophets are there. Many. They may look the same as I do, same clothing, same vestments. They may claim to be Catholic priests. They may claim to be Catholic bishops. They may claim to be Christian ministers. But if they preach a gospel other than the one that you and I have received, other than the one Jesus Christ preached and handed on to his apostles and has been preserved in the church ever since, listen not to those people. Anybody who comes along and tries to say that abortion is okay, anyone who comes along and tries to say that Jesus is not the one and only mediator between God and humanity, the one and only Savior of the world, do not listen to them. Anyone who comes along and tries to say something different than what Jesus said about sexual morality. Marriage between one man and one woman, and that anyone who is unfaithful to his or her spouse and goes off with another is committing adultery. Anyone who tries to water down any of these teachings, anyone who says we do not have an obligation to the needy, to the vulnerable, to the poor, anyone who tries to change the teachings about what the Trinity is, or the second coming of Christ, or the reality of His holy word, don't listen to these people. Don't waste time with these people. When somebody preaches to you, it shouldn't matter what his name is. There should be your heart burning within you, because it's open, it's not hardened. We heard it in the psalm. But it should be like those disciples on the road to Emmaus. Were not our hearts burning within us as he explained the scriptures to us along the way? Yes, our hearts are burning because we know that Spirit. When the Spirit speaks in the teaching Jesus receives from the Father, and the Spirit receives from the Father and Jesus, it's all one teaching. It's not of our authority to change it. When we hear that message, we're hearing the word according to which we were made, and our heart leaps and burns and rejoices. And we go ahead and we live that word at any cost, and we spread that word with great zeal. Thank you, Lord, for raising up the prophet and sending him to us. The prophet, whose name is Jesus Christ. Let us hear his word, absorb it as never before, live it joyfully, and spread it to every creature. Praise and honor to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.